But I'm still, the world heavyweight wrestling champion. And check that out, guys. Hey, girls, what's causing all this, huh? Put that camera back on me, man. What's causing all this, huh, girls? You know, I travel the world over, and every time I turn around, there's a pair of bonacious tatas in my face. Because they all say, how Slick is Slick Rick. And you know what I tell them? I'm slick enough to stay the world heavyweight wrestling champion as long as I want to be. Ricky Martin and all your little teeny boppers and trending underwear, you're right here. Road Warrior Hawk, you're right here. You know, my girls tell me about you, Hawk. Road Warrior Hawk. You're a lot of go, a lot of show, but no go. You understand, big boy? Huh? That's it, guys. I'm the greatest. And I got things to do and places to go. So until tonight, the world champion right now.
The world heavyweight champion, none other than Nature Boy.
15, you've got the biggest match of your career. And you've got to be feeling very confident now that there is no doubt the Big Show Paul White is with the corporation.
You're damn right. I'll tell you what. Some post in Boston, you wish Paul White was on your side. You wish that Paul White was not on the rock side. But I tell you what, you come out here holding my cup to blow your rock side to taste out of your mouth. You come out here and you spit your little talk about how the rock comes out and spits his little nursery rhymes. Tell you what, the great one has a little nursery rhyme for you, Stone Cold, that goes like this. Mary had a little lamb. Well, I tell you what, piss on the lamb, piss on Mary, and piss on you. The Rock is gonna go out there tonight and do what he does best, and let's lay the smackdown on your Rudy Poo. Hey, don't do it, because the Rock, Darren Dan Pease, to prove to you, this goof holding the camera, this chick gawking at the Rock, he will prove to the millions. Exactly why The Rock is the great one. Exactly why The Rock is the chosen one. And exactly why The Rock is, without a shadow of a doubt, the best damn WWF champ there ever was in this match. Hey, Philly, this ain't sing along with the champ. It's your
down, right? Somebody. you should have known by now. Easy does.
That was good for recording.
Yeah, Hideo Itami was injured off camera.
Yeah, so were you, apparently.
Yes, I was injured off camera, but I'm back. I'm making my return.
He's back. He's made his return. So, Finn Balor and Tyler Breeze. Let's get into it. Thoughts, guys. Let's go.
Yo, dude. First of all, it was like Battle of the Entrances because they, you know, I had a thought during the entrances. Like, Unstoppable could be NXT's WrestleMania.
You know, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, oh, this must. I was like, I literally said to myself, this must be NXT's WrestleMania.
It was like, he came out, they all had the fucking, the cell phones with a selfie on it.
I was wondering I didn't exactly know what was going on at first. I'm like, why is this happening?
Yeah,
I thought it was Nitro Girls.
Man, I wouldn't give for a Nitro Girl dance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, keep going. I said thoughts.
Match was great.
I like keep going.
You know, like the thing about Finn Balor is that like his entrances are cool and he's great. Like he's ready for the main roster now.
Oh, absolutely.
But when he comes out in the super paint, it's like you know he's winning.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. When he comes out in the paint,
until he fights Kevin Owens, he gets those spikes shoved up his ass. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Nobody stops that guy. That's NXT's Brock Lesnar right there.
Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Owens versus Brock? Dude, that shit.
Dude.
We'll
get into it a little bit later on this about the appearance.
Mm-hmm.
The appearance on Raw. So.
Oh, the appearance on Raw. When we get to the main.
We'll yeah, yeah. So, dude, yeah, this was a great match, and I really kind
it
of.
It started slow, too. Like, I was kind of like, huh, what's going on here?
Dude.
But man, when he was like, they were chanting, please don't die.
Yeah. Off topic, they had a match at the CSW thing, which was Colin Delaney against a guy named Biff Busick. If you guys, any of you guys have heard of him? I don't know.
No.
Biff Busick. Yeah, I think he's just really in. I'm pretty sure he's like most prominently in CZW.
Okay.
And he looks like he's like an American Cesaro, bald head, beard. He's hairy.
Right.
He's a good wrestler. So. Him and this guy are going at it, and they start out, and it's real slow and drawn out. And what annoyed the crap out of me was this dude behind me, like, oh, this is the worst match of the night. And they had just started, but they were just starting out slow. I'm like, this is called build-up. I was like, the match starts slow. Then it progressively picks up the pace until it blows your mind.
Yes, and that's what the Tommy Breeze match did.
Exactly, dude. Like, I don't
I watched enough wrestling to know, okay, these two are talented. They're great. I've seen them have good matches. They're doing something.
Right. This is what I don't understand about it. It really frustrates me with people that they understand. I just want to be like, you're an idiot.
Like they had the slow build to the crazy finish.
Yeah.
Whereas
yes.
The main event was like all Sami Zayn until he made that one mistake and then that's it.
It was great because then after the match was over, I turned around and I was like, well, did you like that? And he was like, yeah. I was like, see. I told you what was going to happen. But, yeah. Dude, he dove off the NXT, whatever you want to call it, the NXT Tron, I don't know.
The NXT Tron.
The Nextron.
Nextron. Hey, wait, speaking of Nextron, Dan?
This is really getting on my fucking nerves.
It's not on my nerves.
All right, hold on, I'll call him. I'm going to call him right back. All right. Yeah, I was going to try to get his thoughts next.
Sons of multiple bitches.
Yeah, what are
you... Hey, what are you talking? Don't talk about my multiple bitch parents. You know, it's my life.
So, no. So your thoughts on Itami and...
Not Itami.
God, man, why is he stuck in my head? I miss him. R.I.P. I mean...
R.I.P.? Really? R.I.P. his shoulder, maybe.
R.I.P. his Daniel Bryan-like career.
Like, stop it. They actually said that his injury is kind of like a fluke injury. It wasn't because of
injury. Okay, all right.
So kind of alluding to what you were saying about ESW and the NXT match, not everything is a 5-minute spot fest. Elbow, clothesline, tackle, it's got to build, man.
Sadly, you don't see a lot of that anymore because it's the fast food YouTube generation, so.
Yeah.
They want what they want. They want it now. So there's no patience whatsoever.
That's what, when you look at Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and this, either one of them is like, okay, you know, the first one especially was like the slow build and just
yeah,
to like,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, and then the second one is like the urgency was there at the end.
So Dan,
yo,
your thoughts? It's not a Tommy. I'm
not a, not a Tommy. Breeze and Finn Balor.
Breeze and Balor. There we go.
It was a great Finn match. I mean, it was definitely a good way to set the table for the special, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of spots, but calculated spots, not flying around.
They were put in here and there. It wasn't just like, all right, now it's time for the spots, and everybody just does the spot over and over and over.
I love the whole Pearl Harboring thing, like leading up to the Tron jump when Tyler Breeze stumbled down the entranceway and Finn Balor's like, oh, hi, boom.
Oh, yeah, he like just stuck up on him.
I like how like right before he jumped, they're like, where's Finn Balor? Oh, my God.
From out of nowhere, literally, because where the fuck did he come from?
Yeah, right? I didn't know where he went either. I'm like, where did that guy go?
Finn Balor's got magical powers and he went through a black hole and came back.
Yeah.
That's the only explanation for that.
He went through a black hole, won the NXT championship, came back, and was like, all right, I'm back here. The second match was the
Divas tag team match, Bailey, Charlotte,
yeah,
and Dana Brooke and Emma.
Again, I'm going to talk about this with Spandex, Brandon Stroud. If he listens or knows about this at all, who knows, but I always give him credit for this, but he wrote in his article, the only finish that didn't benefit anybody, storyline wise, was the finish they did.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's like, is that Emma's character to be like just seem like she's uninterested in everything?
It's like she's dead inside Emma.
Yeah, it's like, weird. Like she's just like super jaded and like pissed off because her gimmick didn't work on the main roster. Like,
oh, it's not her gimmick that didn't work, Dan. You know what didn't work? You know what didn't work, Dan? That she shoplifted. That's what didn't work.
But it was like an iPod case.
I'm just saying that's why she's in NXT right now.
I think the character is more like, you know, oh, I went up. I was this, you know, great wrestler down here. I brought up and they destroyed me inside.
Essentially, Emma is like Bailey part one to me because she was doing this.
I think it's gonna lead to aggressive Bailey.
She was doing that weird like that bubble thing and crap like that, and people are getting behind it. Now what? Emma or Bailey comes out and slaps wristbands on people and puts her hands in the air or whatever that shit is.
Did you see Emma come out for the match on NXT she had recently when she did the bubble thing and she was like, nah. And she was
yeah, that was actually really funny. She just dropped her hands.
I think Emma's gimmick not getting over on the main roster is all Santino Marella's fault because once he got injured, it was downhill from there.
They didn't even put her into context. They're just like, oh, this is that weird girl from NXT. She wrestles here now.
I actually really got behind it before she got called up, so I was kind of watching it. And she was already established. Like she had
fantastic matches.
All her moves had names with Emma in the beginning. It was really cool. I thought it was actually really cool, even though it like kind of sounded corny. But
right,
I like how that she does the one move that they. She calls that the Evermite sandwich, and Corey Graves like, she doesn't call that anymore.
Like, Corey Graves had a little conference with her beforehand. Like,
she calls it now the splash in the corner.
And then she had the Emolution.
Yeah.
Side note, it's somebody would have been 49 today. Yeah, it was a race from wrestling history.
Who's that? Who? I'm drawing a big blank right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a guy that won the WWF championship and then, you know, it apparently he didn't anymore.
No, I don't remember that. I do remember it disappearing for like 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
The belt just up and disappeared.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But Randy Orton found it at SummerSlam. That was good.
Yeah, Randy did
find it. Good on him.
Yeah, Triple H helped. I think Triple H is helping him look.
Yeah, they had a whole like Leslie Nielsen thing from.
Yeah, I remember what happened. They beat Vacant. That's right.
Yes.
They beat Vacant.
Vacant.
But anyway, he would have been 49 today.
Randy Orton wrestled a broomstick.
My Man, damn it. I loved that guy. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Are we talking about the guy that... I don't even think Mark was recording with us, but we had a weird ending to a podcast episode.
Murder-suicide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have been 48. He would have been 48.
Or 48. I don't care.
But I remember recording that episode, and you were like, so, Chris, you were like, so, guys, we'll see you next time.
He would have been still alive if he wasn't an asshole. Fuck.
Cares. Yeah. If he didn't hit it, if he didn't do so many flying headbutts, I think he would have been fine.
God, even fucking Dynamite Kid was like, I think you should calm down with the headbutts.
Yeah. I mean,
anyway.
You see what happens when we're talking about
NXT. I don't want to
see what happens when we're talking about a Divas tag match. I didn't talk about that.
Before I knew
women's matches, it's kind of like, you know, like the tag match was good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
they all did a good job. Even
you know that wasn't as good as the rest.
They all did a good job. I mean, even Leela from Futurama did good.
Stop it! I just want her to come out of it and I go fry. Yeah, if she comes out with a fucking dog named Nibbles, I'm out, and I'm gonna fucking find you, Chris.
I was really worried at first. Like, they were hyping her up for all those weeks, and then she came out, and I was like, wow, this is looking shaky. And I think every week she comes out, she's a little bit better in the ring.
Oh man, she's got to dye her hair purple and just cover one eye.
That would be fucking fantastic. That's all I'm saying.
What was the match after that?
Watch, they're gonna have a Halloween episode of NXT, and that's gonna be what she is.
If she does it, I'm a fan for life. I'm buying a T-shirt.
By the way, guys,
NXT T-shirts are $19.99 on the shop.
Oh shit!
They have
son.
A Becky Lynch shirt because I'll wear the shit out of it. I don't give a fuck.
I don't know if they do, but I know they do have a Becky Lynch shirt.
I think they do have men's sizes. I believe they do.
What was the match after that tag one?
The match after that was Baron Corbin and the Man Beast Rhino.
Yeah, again, the match should have ended with a spear attempt or a gore attempt into the end of days, whatever the hell it's called.
End of days.
Like he goes for the end. Maybe they couldn't get the timing, but whatever.
The age of Ultron.
The age of Ultron. I tell you the velocity that Baron Corbin gets on that finisher is pretty sick. Man.
I'm gonna take this time to talk about the stupid crowd in NXT.
Okay, go ahead, talk about them.
They stupid.
Why? What did they do? That was stupid.
They so stupid.
They bother me most of the night because they're chanting shit that don't make no sense. They're not even letting the chants finish before they go into the counter chant.
Oh
it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
all
yeah.
the chants. And then the shit on this match.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, how is it bad?
Oh, this
must... Where are you? Are we watching the same thing?
This must be... wrestling fans are ridiculous now.
It's like getting a bunch of... Like, me, you, and a bunch of our wrestling buddies into a room, and you know how we're going to be making comments?
Right.
Multiply that by, like, 500, and now you got the fucking NXT crowd. It is dumb. Shut up and watch.
So, apparently, this must be the WrestleMania of NXT. They have an NXT TakeOver Unstoppable t-shirt.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, the how you doing?
That's my shit.
what's your name, Mark? they have a Becky Lynch shirt for men. It says Becky Lynch last kicker.
Yes,
because they have the shirts and they on the shop they break them down. They show three of the same shirt. So one's just the regular shirt, one's the kid's shirt, and one's the women's.
Right.
So yeah, they do. They do have it's actually $24.99. I don't know.
Oh no!
Must have been the other day. They were just $19.99. Oh, gotta get that Baron Corbin lone wolf shirt.
Not yet. I think he's gonna be a big star, but
I feel like if you don't buy a size shirt of the Bayley shirt that hugs your form, people are gonna look at that shirt and think it says something else. Because every time I see someone come out with that "I'm a hugger" shirt on and it's baggy, oof, doesn't look good.
Okay.
Well, what would it say?
Why do I have to say it out loud?
Oh!
God, damn. Guys, I don't want to say that out loud. I'm just saying.
Ah, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I know you're saying Holmes.
You know what it says, Holmes. Oh, guys. Oh, I want to. Guys, I want to get the Mojo Rawley Stay Hyped shirt. I forgot that guy even existed.
What the hell's a Mojo Rawley? No, I know who he is. I don't get hype. I stay hype, and I run around the ring like the Ultimate Warrior.
What's a Mojo Rawley? Is that a drink?
Is that a drink? I'll take a Mojo Rawley, please. Hold the gin.
Oh, you get a next R Evolution shirt for $9.99.
Oh, shit.
Get that Tyler Breeze iPhone 5 case for $9.99, too.
I will say I'm glad that the guy that came out after the main is in NXT now, but his NXT shirt's kind of basic.
Wait, what is he, fucking Voldemort? What the fuck?
What guy?
The guy who came out after the main. He should not be named.
The one who shall remain nameless until
that guy, we're not gonna cover spoil the ending for you guys, but someone big showed up at the end of the pay-per-view yesterday.
Oh, you guys talking about Polynesian Pete?
Polynesian Pete.
Tahitian Ted.
Tahitian Ted? Samoa Joey?
Samoa Joey?
Oh, shit. I'm actually boycotting WWE Shop until they put up that Primetime Player shirt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Primetime Wrestling ripoff? That's fucking awesome.
Because it's an awesome shirt, and they are indeed awesome.
Yeah. All right. What was the match after the Rhino match?
Oh, man.
The match we didn't care about. Wasn't it the Diva? Oh, no, it was the tag team. It was the tag team title match.
Oh.
Yeah, Blake and Murphy and Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy.
Oh, I don't know if you caught this before, but again, you know how one of them's got the knot in the top of his head, Chris?
Yes.
With his hair?
Yeah.
The guy wrote, every time I see him, I wonder if he's the one who killed the original Night Owl.
That's crazy.
Man, I laughed for like 20 minutes over that shit.
Samoa Joey.
Samoa Joey.
This was a pretty good match. I mean, obviously, they must want to keep this going. So.
Yeah.
There's a potential, for a six-man.
Like, hey, no, look, see, the girl likes us. We're not gay. We're not gay at all.
Yeah, look, guys. We're totally
I got my hair in pigtails. He's got a knot on the top of his head. We're not gay.
What was her name? Alexa Bliss interfered on behalf of Blake and Murphy. And, cost the Enzo Amore and Big Cass the tag team titles.
Yes, and I'm very disappointed.
I'm very disappointed.
I think Enzo Amore and Cass are like the most charismatic guys. Well, especially Enzo, charismatic guys on the roster.
Yeah.
As far as just like getting the crowd pumped.
To me, like Enzo Amore is the first guy since Ric Flair that I'm afraid is going to die in the middle of the ring.
Enzo Amore looks like the guy I hate that I would never talk to and I want to probably smack in the face, but then he's awesome.
He's fucking awesome.
He's so good, dude. I love that guy. I love
he's
that
Dan,
guy.
But awesome.
Yeah, he's so awesome. I mean, it's a bummer that they didn't win the tag titles, but I feel like if they just... It felt like that whole build-up, I was like, oh, they're just going to give him the belts. It's over.
I think it's good that they, like... No titles changed because it's like pretty much everybody's first defense.
Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. Because I mean, Blake and Murphy had the tag title. They kind of just been swimming around, like doing the whole vignette thing and like trying to hit on Carmelo or whatever.
I like the NXT show a couple weeks ago when Alexa and Carmelo like kind of yelling at each other and they're in the background like eating pudding or something and going, oh, they're making faces like, oh my god, what's happening? Oh my god.
They're like, oh, they're like, yeah, I think they're going to fight. They just want to sit back and watch. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good, yeah.
This is turning us on at all?
No. Like, maybe we shouldn't be creepos back here. We should just stay back here and watch this.
Yeah, nothing creepy about this. Anyway.
What's cool to me is that, like, I was like, oh, Alexa Bliss, look, a pretty cool, like, a decent face female wrestler. I was like, then when she turned, I was like, oh, I see that she could look like a bitch, too. It's pretty good.
She uses glitters with the dubstep cowboys.
Yeah, dude, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's a good fit, and I'm sure there's going to be a six-man soon.
Yeah.
Intergender.
Yeah, intergender six-person tag match, yeah.
Yes, sir.
I want to see Alexa Bliss versus Enzo.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I want to see Big Cass against Alexa.
Cool job, city bitch.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
This episode just took a R rating really quickly.
So,
like Paul Verhoeven.
So, I mean, there wasn't really much to write home about that match. Because, I mean, they weren't going for the gusto. It was obviously just like a kind of a fill-in for continuing the
it was a nice placeholder for their feud.
Yeah. And it did what it was supposed to do, because everybody wants them to have the belts, man, and they were clearly behind them.
It's kind of interesting that I'm looking at the rundown here. Like, they stacked the title matches. So they went tag title match, women's title match, and then the main event championship match.
Well, no wonder every 5 minutes I heard, two for the championship. Oh, man. So
the next match is the match of the night.
Oh, the next match is...
Some would say. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It was.
Some would say. Who doesn't say that?
Who watches
this show and goes, you know, it was really good, that Baron Corbin guy. That really was my favorite match.
Dude, for chicks, they got a lot of time for that match.
They did. I'm
going to tell you something right now.
Almost 16 minutes.
During this
match time.
They did the slow build as well.
They did.
And I remember kind of like losing my focus for a second, and I literally said to myself, no, 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 this is not the WWE Divas. You have to watch this match. And holy shit, you guys.
Yeah,
It was good. It was super good.
Yo, holy shit, you guys.
I really only thought when I started watching this show that Charlotte Flair was the only person worth watching, like, that could actually wrestle. But this whole Divas division can wrestle.
Yo,
for sure.
Whew.
Becky Lynch, she upped her game, took it to the next level, whatever you want to say. You know how good this match was? I had legit feels when she lost. Like, I felt real bad. Like, I wanted to give her a hug and say, it's okay, Pookie.
Yeah, you don't see the reaction a lot.
No, and no, I seriously, I felt like I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna put this out there. There were tears in my eyes almost.
Ooh,
and she
lost. Wow, dude.
And not because, you know, I'm a fan and
calm
I
down.
Think she's top, but because you just tell, like, that's her character. Like, she, you know, she put it all out there. She came from, like, nothing. She was a stunt woman and a fucking waitress or whatever the hell she was doing.
Dude,
and this was her dream, and she lost her dream. And it's like, you're just like, oh my God, you just ripped my heart out.
Dude, she was not there to take part, she was there to take over.
She really did. Like, she fucking took. She, I don't give a shit. She's like the uncrowned NXT champion.
Yeah, that was a really good match.
It was wrestling done right.
Absolutely.
Not women's wrestling. Wrestling done
right. Oh, absolutely.
Where the story was just perfect, and Sasha Banks playing like, anything you can do, I can do better by working on her arm. And I can't speak enough words about how good this match was. Like, that, when I say, like, I haven't been so satisfied, like, I haven't seen a match blow me away like this in fucking forever.
Mm-hmm.
Where, especially a woman's match, you know, because I'm so conditioned to, like, oh, distraction roll up. Yay. Yeah.
Dude, it was good.
It was like, deservedly so, like.
Anybody?
Guy, again, I'm going to quote him again. He's like, you know how, like, sometimes they'll do a match like that, and then they'll do, like, the show of respect?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that in this match. Great, you know, thankfully, you know, Sasha kept, you know, her boss character, but he said it was like the crowd hugged her instead.
Yeah.
They chanted
the
fucking music, man.
They did.
You know, how do you not get, like, emotional or feel anything, like, as a fan? You know, not the stupid bullshit Fandango way either.
That was the one thing the crowd did right last night.
Yeah, no, they, because, you know, when you go, oh, he's Fandangoing, and they're doing it just because, you know, it's catchy. They're doing it because, holy shit, I just got, you know, emotionally attached to this character. I want to see her succeed, and she lost, and I feel bad. So, you know what? I'm going to sing her music to her.
Just doing everything right is what.
And it was just
so
like,
good, dude.
5 stars all around. I can't. I mean, I'm so, I want to watch it again.
Can we go back for a second?
Yeah.
I forgot about this until now. Anybody notice Tyler Breeze, Finn match 4 count? Yeah. What?
The count's like 1, 2, 3. And four. They cheered, and he's like, 4. What?
Yeah. I see that. I see it a lot, too. I'll watch them. I'm like, definitely count to 4 or, yeah. Like they do that a lot.
Yeah. I thought the referees had an off game the whole night.
Yeah, they suck. No, it was just really funny. I was like, oh, he won, and then I saw another count. I'm like, okay, well, we need to go to 4. Maybe we just need to make Tyler Breeze feel bad. I don't know. What did he do?
I don't know. But again, Becky Lynch, she's probably my favorite NXT diva.
I noticed too. I think wasn't it on Payback? I think, or I don't know. It was on a recent match that I watched. Like the guy kicked out weird. So it was like 1, 2, 3, and dude kicked out at like 3 1/4, but like they still won. It was weird.
I may have liked this match more than the main event.
I there's no maybes about it for me.
Yeah, the main event was weird. I mean, I understand maybe Sami Zayn was limited.
Hurt like legit.
Look, guys, the main event was the exact same main event from the last time they did a special.
Except with a non-finish.
Well, yeah.
Except like, kind of like the first match where Kevin Owens beat Sami Zayn, and they kind of said, "All right, Sammy, basically be John Cena versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, but have a little bit more offense." This time around, Sami Zayn actually had more offense. Yeah. I think.
Are we going, dude? Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something extremely incredible?
What's that?
A T-bone suplex from Sami Zayn to Kevin Owens.
That was fucking awesome.
That was.
Let me tell you something, and I'm still hyped about. I wish we could still talk about the Becky Lynch match, but let's move on.
Yeah. What?
Kevin what Owens more? is probably the most well-rounded character they have. Because he's like the perfect asshole.
He's a guy to me that when somebody's in character and he just puts that down, like, I feel like he's automatically buried someone.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like from the backstage interviewer. Hey, Kevin, I'm sorry to bother you. Oh, you are? You did it anyway. That's great. To him wearing the Cena shirt, to him on Raw when Cena goes, "I'm going to give you veteran advice." Whoa, 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 whoa there, Johnny boy.
You know what? You know what?
That's
the funny part about that is I was watching that and I'm like, isn't he been wrestling longer than John Cena? Like right when he said that, and then he went into it. I'm like, yes. So like finally, I was like, stop treating wrestling fans like they're morons.
Like he hits on all cylinders, and I think he rattled Cena for a minute.
That was my thing with Daniel Bryan. They're like, oh, he's been here very long, and like people treat him like that. I'm like, dude. This dude's been fucking people up before a lot of these careers started.
Owens going, you know, some of these people know me, and if they don't know me, they're not worth my time.
Yes.
like the perfect asshole. Like, holy shit. One can only dream about being this guy in real life.
The way he talked to John Cena made everything John Cena said just so fucking corny, dude.
Yeah. Right?
Like this is for the crowd, and he's just like, "Give a shit about the crowd."
Let me talk to you, youngster.
You know, he didn't say this, but he's like, "This is the title of the United States. I'm Canadian." You know,
yeah, right? He very well could have.
And he stepped on the fucking title, man. Like it was like worthless. Like
he could totally do the Lance Storm thing and like win the title and make it the Canadian Heavyweight Championship.
That was the moment I knew.
He'd just be like, "Eh, whatever."
That's the moment I knew it was real, dude. When he threw that fucking belt down and stepped on it, I was like, "Wow, dude, this is awesome."
Yeah, it was.
It was something different.
What nobody else talks about, at least I haven't heard them talk about this, or I haven't read anything about it, is Cena selling the pop-up powerbomb like death.
Oh, he did. He just died right there, dude.
Boom, and you know nobody said anything, but I remember thinking like, Cena's out. In the ring, and he got up. He actually, you know, he shook it off, and he was kind of like wobbly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
We've seen a lot of shit for quote burying people, but I don't think there's anybody in the locker room more happy to put over the NXT talent than John Cena would be.
I don't believe it's the case ever. What is it? I want to say in the last year, I feel like that guy has a solid head. John Cena has a solid head on his shoulders. and that he knows when it's time to just take a backseat. Okay. He's like, hey, he's like, I'm like not
36, he's, whatever he is.
He's like, what, he's like the only guy ever that's been on top that's been like, hey, he's that guy that's like, hey, I don't have to be the man for the whole time I'm here.
Well,
he's like I can step back, help people out, and still make money.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that I agree with. I've heard like Kevin Gill say it. I've heard other people say it. Like, it's not really John Cena's fault that he's been on top for so long.
He does what he's told.
Right, right, and justifiably so. And like, I mean, people can call me on the carpet if they want, and maybe we'll finally get some interaction on a fucking episode of the podcast. But I'll be the first to admit I haven't always, you know, had the best opinion on John Cena, his character or his gimmick in any case, which I think it's stale and fucking dry, but you know, he's a company guy and he's willing to put people over. I mean, he could just as easily shit all over and been like, fuck, I'm not going to do that with Kevin Owens. You know, I'm John Cena. Da, 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 da. But he was like, no, I'm going
to. Like, even in the match and even after the match, he let him have his moment to celebrate in front of his hometown crowd. Like, here's the thing about John Cena. It was a meme I saw. It was, remember the fat nerd character in South Park that had all this shit? I forget what the hell episode it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, they photoshopped and it was like, you know, John Cena, you know, the IWC while John Cena's around is like, we hate Cena, and this guy's wearing like an anti-Cena shirt, and when John Cena retires, it's like, we miss Cena and all the Cena merchandise in his room.
I saw that. Oh yeah, it was taken from the actually the World of Warcraft episode, I think.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, okay.
So it was just like, it's funny because it's just true. John Cena gets a lot of shit, deservedly gets a lot of shit.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, I was a Cena fan up until like 2006, 2007.
You know, I realized I was 25, so nope.
And then I was like, come on. It's like the same thing. Like he gets the title and then he gets knocked down a peg. And then it's just like, how big of a hill can John Cena climb? It's like, what the fuck, man?
I really like where he's at now, where he's like the veteran, because John Cena can lose out for the rest of his career and nobody would care. It wouldn't bother him.
It's true. That's very true.
And he's just using his position now to put people over, which he should do. That's how you do. Hogan never did that.
Nope.
You know.
Nope. Brock Hogan never did
over.
That.
You know, Brock put over Brock.
Mm-hmm.
On his way out.
Yep. Ric Flair's put everybody over.
You know. So, you know, knock Cena all you want, guys, but you know he's doing a fantastic job working with not the young kids but the newer faces in the company.
So,
I mean, anyway. that's one of my biggest axes to grind with Hogan is like, I mean, he would put people over, but it was bullshit. Like he would no sell. Like, I mean, in the dying days of WCW, he put Kidman over, but then he came right over and fucking buried him, you know, attack him with a group of thugs afterwards to make him look like shit.
It's always been about Hogan. Cena knows his time is almost up.
So, this main event, guys.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we were talking about, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, we don't have to really say much about it.
I mean, it was decent, I mean, for what it was.
Let's talk about one thing before, you know, the big thing. Let's talk about Regal ripping him off by his face.
Oh, that was awesome.
Do we get Regal Owens next week?
We probably get Regal Owens.
So awesome!
Oh, please let us have Regal Owens.
Let me tell you, man, I like the whole fact that it was just like nobody could stop Owens.
That was
doing what he wanted to do.
It's fucking so
like,
good.
He was just like because his whole character right now is like he's the coward heel that doesn't want people to know that he's really a coward. So that's why he fucks people up. That's why he talks shit. He doesn't want to do it. You know, but it works for him. But so, like, when he's in danger of being exposed, he just goes fucking crazy,
right?
Like he's using like, oh, I gotta feed my family as a fucking as a crutch, but in reality, it's like, nope. You know, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's right. Just doing it because you know he's an asshole,
right?
Joe's gonna kill you.
Ryan Harry.
Joe's gonna kill you.
Joe. No. Samoa Joey.
Samoa Joey. Which, like I was saying, before, I'm surprised that they allowed him to keep his name, but it was probably like, hey, you let CM Punk keep his name, and I'm pretty much as well known as he is, so I'm keeping my name.
I don't care. It's like he came in, Samoa Joe, people know him. He's already a full character.
Do you see the crowd? They know him.
Yeah. Right?
They know.
Exhibit A.
He came out looking in good shape too.
Yeah, he looks good.
Like, and, I haven't seen Samoa Joe motivated in years.
I wonder what's his deal.
I heard he's got a. He doesn't have a WWE exclusive deal because he's still got dates that he's got. You know,
yeah.
He's got
yeah, he does have dates. Yeah.
Contract. That's WWE's trying something new with him.
Mm-hmm.
New kind of contract, but you know. He's there for now. He's going to be at the tapings for next week.
Okay. I'm ready for that.
I've never been a big Samoa Joe fan. I'm going to be honest. My friend used to talk about him all the time. He was like, this guy's great. And then when I saw him, I really wasn't impressed. However, I get it. And I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I don't want for Joe.
I was always a big fan of him. Is like as soon as – I didn't really – he was in ROH – before I was a big ROH fan. Like, I know ROH started in like 2002. I didn't really get into ROH till 2005, 2006, right around the time Joe came to TNA. So I was kind of playing catch up a little bit. But as soon as he came out in that first TNA match against Sanjay Dutt, man, and they pushed him super strong and just like as an ass kicking machine, I kind of feel like. Like 2012, 2013, 2014 in TNA, like they kind of didn't know what the fuck to do with him. Like
he got by ninjas.
Yeah, like he would be abducted by fucking guys in a van, and then he'd just show back up later on. And then like he would be part of like that beat down crew thing with MVP and Low Key.
Well, that's
homicide shit. Like
that's the thing. They got him. And they used him how he needed to be used in the beginning, and then they tried to do dumb shit with him.
Yeah.
Because Angle and Joe, that whole time was
amazing.
Oh my
god, those matches were insane. Yeah. Even some people would say that they didn't really care for like that Joe Angle match at Lockdown, which was like the MMA style match. That was all right. It was all right.
Mm.
Wasn't great, but like I mean. That was really smart on TNA's part. Although I wish they would have built it up a little bit more when Angle first came in TNA in 2006. I wish they would have built it up just a little bit more. But they fed Angle to Joe right off the bat.
No, the other way around because Joe was undefeated.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would have built it up at least. I think it was like. Angle came in.
I didn't give him a 6-month build.
Yeah, Angle came in when? Like September, I think like September 06. So I would have built it till like the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's really nothing bad I can say about Samoa Joe.
I'm excited. I'll be honest. I never really liked him that much, but I'm excited for him now.
Yeah, you should check out some of his stuff, dude. It's solid.
There's stuff I still need to check out. Like I hear multiple times about like the 60 minute Broadways of like Samoa Joe and CM Punk, and then some of them. I mean, not Broadway. Some of them had finishes, but like 60 minute matches.
Yeah,
ROH.
I gotta check out those also. Like I said, the stuff I saw of him, maybe because bad booking or because he didn't care anymore because he was getting fat.
Yeah,
you know. But he looked good.
Like other than the Kurt Angle stuff in TNA, I really liked his Nation of Violence stuff. Like he would just come out and be like, "Oh yeah, no promos, just kicking the shit out of people."
I like I think I might need to get that Samoa Joey T-shirt.
Yeah, it's all right, but it looks kind of basic to me. Like
Samoa Joey.
I like basic shirts.
Yeah, that's good.
All their shirts are basic, dude.
Pretty much.
Kevin Owens, KO.
Yeah. I will say some of the
Owens shirt looks like he put duct tape on his own shirt.
Exactly. Not so much now, but I will say Shop TNA, some of their shirts are pretty sweet for some of their guys.
Oh man, I'm gonna get on that. I'm going to Shop TNA right now. All right, we got like 13 minutes if you want to talk about that Payback pay-per-view.
Yeah, you would.
Well, folks, I do believe that's going to bring another episode of Jerking the Curtain to an end. If this has not quenched your appetite for all things Jerking the Curtain, please proceed to your nearest medical facility to have your headache. And once you're discharged with a rash they don't know the name of and they give you some cream to put on it twice a day, head on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/jerkinthecurtain716. You can also send us a tweet at jerkinthecurtain on Twitter. JRKINTHECURTAIN. Or on a desktop or laptop, visit twitter.com/jerkinthecurtain. You can also send us an email at the jerkinthecurtain email address, jerkinthecurtain@gmail.com. Feel free to listen to us on Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes. We also ask that you share with your friends. Tell them what you like about us. Tell them what you don't like about us. Get the word around. Spread the word. Once again, we thank you for all your support and look forward to having you as a listener in the future.
And weekend, it was pretty decent. Let me see if we want to just do like highlights, any possible highlights of it. I mean,
go for that. That's a good idea.
I mean, it was. I mean, really, no titles changed.
Payback?
Yeah.
Pay me back for the network, huh?
Ha ha.
Oh, they didn't have to pay me back. I got it for free. So.
I will say the 2 out of 3 falls match for the tag team titles, I felt was good up until the finish. I understand why they did the finish, but no, I don't agree with
it.
I hate
the people who call that finish racist. He literally couldn't see the guy's face.
I mean, it. I don't know how much the finish was racist. It just worked. It was with their head tucked down and from the back, Kofi looks like Xavier Woods.
Nothing racist about that finish. It was the Freebird thing, dude.
Yeah. Dude, I love how he popped in the match. He was like, the Freebird rule. So fucking good. It was so fucking good. Xavier Woods got up on the apron. The Freebird rule.
What else was highlighted for this pay-per-view?
I mean, the Sheamus-Dolph Ziggler match.
Nope.
Always a good performance by Ziggler.
He said nope.
Well, I mean, Sheamus wasn't bad, but always a good performance by Ziggler. But I mean, the whole kiss my arse concept, yawn.
Dolph bleeding because of an iron headbutt, though.
Yeah.
Oh, and the people who said he bladed. That's awesome.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He had no time to blade, man.
No, he didn't.
Bray Wyatt, basically kicking the shit out of Ryback.
And then lost, right?
No, Bray Wyatt won.
Oh my god, he won.
Yeah, he won.
What?
The weirdest, probably the one of the weirdest I quit matches I've ever seen before between John Cena and Rusev. I guess I'm just used to an I quit match being move, Mike in the face. Move, Mike in the face. This one was one move, Mike in the face. One move, Mike in the face.
I was like,
are you fucking serious?
I like how Rusev was like, ask him to quit now.
beginning of the match, just cut the bullshit. Ask him to quit.
I like they did like the back when Sheik thing where like she basically threw in the towel.
Right. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I was telling
Dan like next night on Raw, when she's making out with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Like, remember we were talking about, and you told me to tune out the announcers?
Yeah.
I kind of glad I didn't, because the second time she kissed him and Rusev came out, Booker T deadpan goes, oh, someone's going to die.
It was wonderful. Not for nothing, but he shouldn't be talking about anybody dying at all. He's in the hot seat for no reason.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. The whole Owen Hart comment. Whatever.
I'm just starting to think that Bret Hart's very senile or something. Like,
It wasn't Bret that did it. It was Bruce.
Well, Bret.
Bruce.
Oh, that was Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce. Bruce.
Fuck Bruce. He sucks. No one cared about Bruce.
Yeah.
That's why he's all butthurt.
Like, if you missed it, oh well. You know?
Yeah. What else?
There was a Diva tag team match that was predictable. I mean, you know, you have the Bella Twins kind of being bullies towards Naomi. Tamina comes in. And it was, I get, from what I read, I mean, you can only, you know, read so much into what the dirt screens say, but apparently Naomi's playing the role that AJ Lee was supposed to play.
That's cute.
Recycled
roles for other people.
Yeah, right. Neville and Barrett continued their feud, and Neville won by count out because Barrett was like, I'm not Barrett finishing the match. Awesome.
Let me tell you something about Neville.
Tell me something about Neville.
Break it down.
On offense.
Hmm?
That guy sold that leg injury like he was crippled. It was ridiculous. Even the next night on Raw, he's selling it. Like, he's trying to go for a move and he can't. It's fantastic. It's little things. Kevin Owens, the master of the little things.
Main event was good?
Main event was good. Main event was decent. Main event was decent.
Oh, it's good.
My favorite part was the Shield reuniting for a minute. And then Dean Ambrose being like, fuck that. And then Roman Reigns being like, nah, son. And then both kicking the shit out of Seth Rollins.
And all of a sudden, Roman Reigns is Captain Charisma. And he's like, with Dean Ambrose, like, oh, hey, yeah, we're friends. We're going to fight now. And he's like, all cool. And like, what the fuck, man? Sidekicks and running buddies.
Oh, man. I will say my only complaint with not really Barrett in general, but since he came back, I feel like he's one of the few guys that 1 or 2 seconds his entrance theme makes a difference. Like, I feel like the God Save the Queen part and then boom into his entrance, I feel like that makes a difference versus
I really like the entrance.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. What the heck? Let's talk about Raw the next night and the biggest moment that was better than the pay-per-view.
Yes. That moment was pretty good. I didn't watch Raw, but I watched that clip.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's all you do. I mean, it was a decent Raw. It wasn't really bad, but that was probably the biggest highlight of the night.
Yeah. Owens accepting John Cena's challenge, and basically saying, "John Cena, take your challenge and shove it up your ass."
Yeah.
Is everything we thought it would be from Kevin Owens and John Cena?
Pretty much.
John Cena being the arrogant dick he is, and Kevin Owens going, nope.
The whole time, just like, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him, hit him, please hit him.
I like how he stopped like mid-sentence, too, like, to do it. Like, when you think you got me figured out, and he just kicks the shit out of him.
Yeah, that was so good.
That was super good.
So like, good.
When CM Punk did that against Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
He's like, but dude, let me just, and he just hits him.
Just soul death, dude. He just died right there. John Cena died.
Like the best. Like we talked about it a length before, but
good for John Cena. You
know, laying out for Kevin Owens' finisher.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I like that.
Very cool with that.
Main event, wasn't really a main event. There was just a segment.
Yeah.
I can't remember, to be honest. It was a Seth Rollins segment, and they were all hugging him.
Oh, they were all sucking his dick, right?
Yeah, they're all sucking him off. Tell him how he is the architect and blah, blah, blah.
It's a circle jerk fest.
Right.
I think they're going to put the strap on Ambrose, dude.
It's a circle jerk fest with Seth Rollins.
What?
What's that?
I wouldn't mind if they put the strap on Ambrose, but I don't think they're doing it. I think they're just doing the Seth Rollins is going to beat everybody until Brock Lesnar comes back and destroys him. Tour.
That sounds good to me.
That you could put that shit on a shirt.
Oh, I love it. Speaking of shirts, guys, I've been ripped off. I've been ripped off.
Seth Rollins is going to beat everybody till Brock Lesnar comes back and kills him by decapitating his head off his shoulders. Put on a shirt.
Guys,
well, how are you ripped off?
I've been ripped off, guys.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. I go to this ESW show. All right.
Let me tell you something.
And there are five people in the crowd, and they are wearing bright yellow T-shirts that say, "Mark out Lars repeat" or whatever.
Oh.
I did the Lars. I started that shit. How dare you?
You should have talked to them for royalties.
Then they were like right across from me in the front row, and I'm just going off. I'm just like, how dare you fucking people steal my shit?
Oh,
and like,
man.
And then every time I did something Lars related, they just followed me.
I'm so glorious. What does that mean?
Lars? Yeah, you don't know about that.
I don't.
You don't.
You're right.
It's okay.
Good.
You're fine, dude. Three minutes. Anything else?
Did you say 3 minutes.
I did say 3 minute. 3 minute warning.
We got three minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. Oh, sorry.
Okay, now we're signing off.
Dan, you gotta do me a favor.
What's up?
Never do that again.
On that note, I can't think of a more perfect way to end this cast. And
what's so bad about Rosie and Jamal though?
And hey, shut up. And the fact that I have 7% left on my computer battery.
There you go.
We should get out of here.
head out the door.
Guys, sorry we were away so long. We're going to hit you with a double dose this week. And
bam, bam.
I hope you like it. We will see you next week. For
and
sure.
Support Becky Lynch.
Support Becky Lynch, for
support
sure.
Support Bailey, though.
Yeah, you know, that too. That too. Yeah. Fair enough.
Go hug a ponytail, all right?
Yeah. Give her a hug.
Watch this girl from Ireland beat the shit out of people. Break their arms.
All right, guys.
It's that sidey ponytail. I can't help it.
Until
bracelets. Slap bracelets.
Until next week. Slap bracelets and Irish ass kicking for all. See you guys later.
And this is Luke Smacktalker signing off.
Later.
Later.
Later. Bye.